In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the will of our eternal and good God that all men should go to heaven. It is the will of the eternal and almighty God that we should be saved from our iniquity and should live eternally with him. It is the will of God that after we were created, we should not only revert to nothingness, but in seeing God eternally, we would be in everlasting fellowship with him and with all the blessed angels, and we should enjoy his love forever. It is the will of God that you are eternally happy, that you are eternally joyful. It is the will of God that you have eternally the reason to praise God for his goodness toward you, to rejoice and to delight in what God has done. For this purpose, God created you. For that purpose, he gave to you and to all mankind immortal souls. And to that end, he placed deep into your heart an unquenchable longing for freedom from all evil, for a perfect knowledge of salvation. For that purpose, God once planted and placed the newly created humans in a paradise on earth. But you know the story, you know how it goes, you know our shared history. We no longer dwell in that paradise. But by the sin of Adam and Eve, our mother and father, all of humanity fell. And by our own sins that we have added to it since, we too are banished from the earthly paradise into this world full of pain, fear, and tears. And this removal of man from the garden was only a shadow of the deeper reality that took place before the face of God. For in our sin, heaven itself was closed to us. The bars of heaven were placed. There was not only a cherubim with a flaming sword guarding the entrance to the Garden of Eden, barring you from eating from the tree of life, but your sin caused the Lord to place upon him his bars, the windows of heaven, the bars of his holiness and righteousness, that the eternal city might be kept holy. The entrance to heaven is guarded by the threatening sword, not of fire, but of the Lord's good law. And all would be lost if the Word, the eternally begotten Son of the Father, did not become flesh. All would have been lost if the Word did not once again take up for us our cause. If he did not open again for us the closed doors of heaven. If the reality is that Christ did not become flesh, if Christ did not dwell among us, it would be better for us if we had never been born. It would be better for us if we never saw the light of this world. Better that God had never conceived or carried out his plan to create us. Without a Savior, without the incarnate Son, all human beings would have been created in vain. For who can break God's righteousness and holiness that seals the door of heaven? Who is worthy to open the seals? Who can say to the gates of heaven, "Open, you ancient gates, be lifted up, O everlasting doors"? God cannot cease to be just and holy. And he cannot open the gates of his holy city to those who are not righteous, to those who are not holy. They open only to the one who fulfills the law perfectly. And yet we are not gathered for a somber affair this morning. We do not gather in despair about our eternal fate. We do not have to despair that they will not open to us, because we know in Holy Scripture that it is written in the Apocalypse of St. John about the eternal city of God, its gates will never be shut. And so we may ask this blessed morning, who has opened the doors of righteousness to us? I say to you, come. Come and see, dearly beloved. Let me lead you today to the open door of heaven itself, to the one who declares himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, the one who declares himself to be the very door of heaven by which all men enter in. Let us go to Bethlehem. There you will not only see him who has opened heaven for you, but you will look into that open heaven. You will see the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh, who tears down the bars of heaven, and you will behold salvation itself in the very one who opens the gates of heaven to you. There is no doubt that through Christ's birth, heaven stands open for all people. Hardly has Christ been born into the stable when outside in the fields of Bethlehem, the angel of the Lord appears to lowly shepherds, radiant in the glory of the Lord, and he terrifies them with his brightness and with his glory. And he says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. The heavens wide opened, and the hosts of heaven streamed forth. And responsive choirs sing to the amazed shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." For in Bethlehem, the Lord of heaven himself is there as a friendly child lying in a manger. In Bethlehem, the brilliance of the Lord shines forth upon the shepherds and illumines the night with heavenly light. The gates of heaven are open, and the heavenly hosts assemble and mingle and sing with men. Music of heaven fills the air. Not only has the gate of heaven been opened, but heaven itself has come to earth. And that's great if you're in Bethlehem. That's great if you were there on that night of our Lord's birth. But what does that help us? Are we not still on earth? Does not God's righteousness and holiness still not hold the gates of heaven shut to sinners such as ourselves? To you, the same words of the angel are preached, "Fear not." For the shepherds were sinners just as you. It is their sins that made them so afraid. It was their sins that caused them to cower in fear against the holiness and glory of God. And if at that time the heavens had been closed to sinners, the angels could not have preached the good news. They could not have said, "Fear not," for they would have had every right to be afraid if heaven was closed. But so long ago, heaven was opened without them asking. Heaven itself came down to them. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so heaven itself must now be open and come down not just to the sinners there in Bethlehem, but to all mankind. Heaven itself has come down to you. But if you still want to have doubts about it, if you still ask, who is that newborn child who lies in the manger? He is, as the angel of the Lord announced so clearly and boldly, Christ the Lord. He is the Son of the living God himself, who became a child of man like you. And in Bethlehem on this day, God in human form once did not only visit a people for a certain time, but he visits his people eternally. Man and God are bound together in the person of Christ and cannot be separated. There would be no comfort if they could. But God's Son himself became a human being like you. He became a descendant of our fallen father, Adam, like you. He became a member of the whole human family, just as you are. He became a blood relative of every fallen human, a brother of all sinners. What happened in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago does not concern only those dwelling there at that time, but it concerns everyone who shares a nature now with the Son of God, who has assumed into his divinity the flesh. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It became one of us in the person of Christ, so that all who calls himself human, all who can call himself a sinner, might receive grace upon grace. And at the bottom of this lies an unspeakably great, unfathomable, divine mystery. For God's holiness and righteousness had to close heaven to us sinners. And God knew well that neither we ourselves nor any creature in heaven or on earth could open it again. But from eternity, he made the most blessed and holy decision to do himself what we could not, in a way that would reveal to all creatures how great and wonderful and how immeasurable his love is. God made the decision from eternity to send into the world his only begotten Son himself, to let him carry through them, through all the deepest humiliations of the death on the cross, in order to make satisfaction for your sins, and so to atone for all our sins completely and eternally. The Word became flesh for this purpose. And why we celebrate and gather this morning, on this blessed day of days, is to remember and rejoice in what happened that day in Bethlehem, the final carrying out of an eternal decision of God the Heavenly Father. For as soon as God's Son became a man, already there in the unbearable burden of sin, was lifted from all people and laid upon Christ. Already then, the Holy Child of God, lying dark in a stall, on a hard manger, atoned for the sins of all sinners as God's sacrificial lamb. And in God's eyes, which look into the future, and therefore saw the Son of Love already dead upon the cross, the payment for the sins of all sinners was now already as good as made. The satisfaction for God's injured holiness and righteousness was as good as accomplished. The eternal redemption carried out and God reconciled with man. So God opened the gates of heaven to sinners, who he himself reconciled and redeemed. Now there is no sinner for whom that door of heaven is not open. There is no place, there is no corner of earth, no city, no single home, no mountain, no village, no valley, no field, no forest, nor depth of sea, where the gates of heaven are shut, where they do not stand open to you. Although you, as all sinners, have been born in sin, this does not close the door of heaven to you. No longer are the doors of heaven shut for you. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the birth of the most holy Son of God has hallowed your birth as a sinner. So let us be joyful and happy on this blessed morning. Let us shout for joy. Let our mouths be full of laughter and our tongues filled with the praises of our Lord, for heaven is indeed open. That is to say that God's everlasting grace, without wrath, Christ's everlasting gracious righteousness, without sin and without guilt, everlasting life without darkness, everlasting joy without sorrow, everlasting riches without want, health without sickness, youth without the weakness of age, everlasting vision of God without weariness, without fear, everlasting enjoyment, everlasting life without death, everlasting fellowship with God, with his holy angels, and with all the saints, without separation, an everlasting fatherland, an everlasting home is complete. In complete blessedness of body and soul, without end and without ceasing. All this now stands open to you. All for this one simple reality. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand as we sing.